Rob Francis with you, joining me on the program from Spokane Valley. He's Senator Mike Padden. Good afternoon to you, sir. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, good to be with you again, Rob.
So, Senator Padden, let's talk about this particular situation. It seems that many of the laws that have been passed over the last couple of sessions in Olympia have had either unintended or maybe intended but not meant to be noticed consequences. And now we have a situation where there is an individual who is a repeat offender, convicted of killing his girlfriend in a DUI crash, should be obviously sentenced to some time away, but a previous second-degree robbery conviction no longer considered a strike against him. Talk to us about this situation and how we got here.
Yeah, well, we have in our state the three strikes law that the people voted in by initiative back in the early 1990s, and basically saying, you know, if you got three violent felony offenses, you know, you've had enough chances, and the third one you should be sentenced to a life sentence. What the legislature did in 2020, they indicated that second-degree robbery, and this is certainly debatable, they no longer considered that a violent offense, and so they said that should not be applied prospectively. Whether you agree with it or not, that at least is the proper way to do it, so you're not upsetting a whole bunch of cases that have already been litigated between the prosecutor, public defender, defense counsel. They've reached an agreement, or it's the third strike, and they've been sentenced. So this took it away, robbery two, but applied it retroactively. What is a horrible thing to do if for any criminal justice thing, because the facts, the circumstances, I should say the circumstances are different. Somebody might actually be guilty of robbery one, but because it's a third strike, the prosecutor says, well, it doesn't matter. We'll give him robbery two so that he'll have the third strike and he'll get life. So what difference does it make? Well, now, of course, it makes all the difference in the world. This case is especially egregious because Mr. Robert Jackson was one of those prisoners released early when the Inslee administration's mistake caused 3,000 prisoners to be released early. He was only out a short time. Then he commits vehicular homicide. His girlfriend is killed in the parking lot of the apartment where she lives. He runs off, and her 13-year-old son discovers the body. So, you know, really an egregious situation. Her name was Lindsay Hill, and her mother, her grandmother, I'm sure, our family are extremely upset about this. And Mr. Jackson was just sentenced today by Judge North in King County Superior Court and got 33 years. He'll get credit for some time served, 4 or 5 years. But that's instead of life imprisonment, and he has a significant, really, really significant criminal history. So this is really, in my mind, sort of an abomination, and comes right after the case in Vancouver that's still pending with Roy Russell, who killed Chelsea Harrison, a 14-year-old girl, after having his apartment where he gave out drugs and alcohol to 14-year-olds and 13-year-olds, and then she stayed behind, and he made sexual advances on her. She resisted, and he killed her. And now he's going to be released early in a resentencing in October. So this was a big mistake. The Democrats passed this on a party-line vote. There were, in the Senate, we have one Democrat who caucuses with us, and he voted with us. So it was 28-21. And in the House, 52-46, with, I think, five Democrats crossed over and voted no in the House. But it passed. Governor Inslee signed it. So this is really, these victims are being re-victimized, re-traumatized. It's really an abomination in my view.
We're talking with Senator Mike Patton from Spokane Valley here on the Bottom Line News Radio 610 KONA. So, Senator Patton, we watched over the last couple of sessions how it seems that we have been weakening our public safety in the state of Washington between what has been done in regards with law enforcement. Some of those things have been tempered to a degree, but there still are some issues out there that are making it more difficult for law enforcement to do their jobs. We are making it much easier for criminals to be criminals without having to pay any type of or pay a significant penalty. Is there an end in sight to this, or are we going to see more of this in the coming years?
Yeah, well, I hope so. It's up to the people who they elect, and if their elected representatives are going to make some changes. Well, they made some changes. Two major things that are still a huge problem are the pursuit laws. So law enforcement, it's much more difficult for them to pursue criminals. So we got huge crime waves in our state that are higher than others, and I'm not necessarily a big fan of the cannabis shops, but they have higher robberies, higher violence in our state than they do in other states because the criminals know law enforcement's not going to pursue them. The other thing, which is horrible, is the de facto decriminalization of hard drugs, felony drugs such as, which were felony drugs, such as fentanyl and heroin and meth. The fentanyl is especially bad. It's coming up through our southern border, and the Chinese are involved with that and the Mexican cartels, and it comes up, and some of it's laced with heroin, and we've got all these overdoses in our state and throughout our country. So we've got some major problems. There's other issues that need to be changed. If somehow the Republicans got the majority in the Senate, I could keep the legislature busy probably a third of the time dealing with criminal justice issues that need to be addressed. But we'll see. We've got elections here, whatever it is, 38, 39 days away. And hopefully, especially on the west side of the state, we'll be able to see some changes and people elected that are more dedicated to public safety.
Senator Patton, we know one call that has gone out, particularly as the revenue forecasts have been released. And then, of course, the numbers that follow saying that we're bringing in more revenue than what has been projected. There has been bandied about some talk of tax relief. We know that that's something that's been asked for by Republicans in both chambers for a couple of years now. It seems that there could be some openness by those on the other side of the aisle. I believe Senator Billig made some comments in regards to that. The governor's office has said that they're not closed to the idea. Do you think it is something that we could potentially see in the coming session, that there could be bipartisan bills to address some tax relief for Washingtonians? And what do you think that could look like?
Well, I sure hope so. It's badly needed. We got gas prices have spiked up again. We got food prices that are sky high. We got some people that are being taxed out of their homes, some seniors, because the assessed valuation's higher and taxes are higher. We had $15 billion surplus that we Republicans offered in our budget to have tax relief, both for manufacturers, but very importantly for property taxes. We were going to exempt $250,000 of the state portion of the property tax. And we could have done that very easily. And in addition, we, instead of raising all these fees on transportation issues, we could have taken some of that excess money out of the general fund and used it for transportation needs. So, yeah, there it's way overdue. There's other states that have a Democrat governor and Democrat-controlled legislatures that did offer some relief. I would like to see some property tax relief. I'd like to see some relief for our businesses that provide jobs for our people. And certainly, if we can, maybe provide some sales tax relief. But the sales tax, I mean, you get a tenth of a penny is hardly noticeable. It provides a lot of money. So I, my first priority would be to see the property tax relief.
We're talking with Senator Mike Patton from Spokane Valley here on the Bottom Line News Radio 610 KONA. Senator, it brings me to another question regarding things potentially on the plate for the legislature in this coming session. We've talked a little bit about tax relief, but also we now know in 31 days the governor's emergency powers are going to go by the wayside. Do you believe with the emergency powers, at least what we believe now, to be over before session begins? Who knows what could come up? Climate change, you name it, could be the cause for a new state of emergency in our state. If there is no state of emergency when session begins, do you believe the other side of the aisle, the majority party, will be interested in broaching emergency power reform?
Well, I sure hope so. I think there may be some opening for that. I know there was some feelings by talking to some of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle that they would have ended the emergency if the governor hadn't made this decision to do that in the end of October. But it's desperately needed. We had one of the longest emergency, well over 900 days, of any state in the nation. Other states, states like Colorado that have Democrat control, far more reasonable. And so too much lack of, in my mind, freedom, too much control by Olympia bureaucrats and everything else. Our kids, I think, were hurt because in-person learning was delayed so long, and I think there were mental issues with impacting a lot of our young students. So there were, I think, a number of mistakes made. Hopefully we're getting a little bit more back to normal, but we definitely need to reform the emergency laws. The governor should not have power beyond, I think, at the most 30 days without having to come back to the legislature to get their approval. And maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't, but to have one person, you know, and when people ask him, well, you know, when is the emergency going to end? His first response was, why would you want it to end when you've got a governor that won the Super Bowl for you by his actions? So, I mean, I think he just was disconnected with the way a lot of, at least my constituents, and I think a lot of other citizens around the state felt.
Senator Patton, one final question for you. I appreciate your time this afternoon. One of the other things, of course, everybody's watching is when the state Supreme Court begins hearing arguments regarding the capital gains tax. Could be the end of next month that they begin hearing arguments. Probably won't be until next year before they release some type of a ruling. Where do you think the Supreme Court comes down on this? We know that there's 100 years of precedence there, but we also know that there is a unbending agenda by the governor and many others that share his ideology to get the ceiling broken to be able to get a graduated income tax into Washington state. Do you think the state Supreme Court will break with that 100 years of precedent, or do you think it's too strong that the Supreme Court will keep things with the status quo?
Well, I'm concerned what the court may do. It could be a 5-4 decision one way or the other. It could be quite a bit different. I really have no idea, but I do know that there's some very liberal folks that got appointed and then elected to our state Supreme Court. On the other hand, we got a decision by the Superior Court judge in Douglas County. We do have all that 100 years of precedence, and said if you're going to have an income tax in our state, it has to be a flat rate. And the graduated income tax, is unconstitutional. And the people have turned it down time after time after time, in addition to the court's ruling the graduated income tax unconstitutional. So I am hopeful that the court will follow precedent and, if they want to change it, they get a constitutional amendment.
Senator Mike Patton from Spokane Valley, always appreciate talking to you, sir. Thank you for your time this afternoon, and certainly hope to speak with you again very soon.
You bet. Good talking to you. Thanks so much.